This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Next thing, Stephen, gone, up to his neck, drops through the snow. I, like a fool, follow him through the snow. We're thinking, it's getting dark, and now we're starting to get a bit, you know, anxious.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley, and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. It's your host, Jonathan, here, along with my two wonderful colleagues, Jerry and Stephen. Gents, how are we doing today?
Jonathan, we're the men for all seasons, so let's rock it.
Superb. This episode is a little special, a little bit different. I'm keen to focus back, after a few requests from some of our listeners, on some of the great stories, anecdotes, memorable moments that we've shared over the years of 20 years in Team Building Boys, in case you hadn't realised. I haven't been here all that time. I was very young to kick in, but, you know, I'm pushing through. I'm pushing through.
We started when I was 12.
So yeah. Yeah.
I started when I was 70.
Yeah, you can tell.
You just eat a lot of cod liver oil to look that good. Okay, so yes, that's what I want to focus on today, gents. Some of our favourite experiences from over the years. I know we've got tons of stories, many we should probably either not say or we will definitely edit out, but some that I would love to keep in.
Jonathan, Stephen has heavily warned me that it has to, I can't say anything crazy, so hopefully I'll toe the line.
Yeah,
something's going to slip.
You're under embargo for most of this episode.
Something's going
to
slip.
Well, with that in mind, let's go to Jerry early then, so that he gets his good stuff out the way. Jerry, a little strip down memory lane.
I started 20 years ago then, just because I didn't realise we're going back that far, so this is one I haven't prepared, but it's come to mind, so it might have to be vetted. I remember when we first started, and I was speaking to Stephen, I said, you know, I reckon we need to get a vehicle of some sorts to carry the kit around the country, and, you know, it's going to be, we need something. So he said, okay, what's our budget? I said, no money, really. So I found this wonderful, they used to call them saloon cars. No, it was a Honda. So I picked that up, sent a photo to Stephen, but took a couple of days for the post to get it there, because it was 20 years ago, so there was no kind of, you know, Photoshops or nothing. And he loved it. He said, looks great, looks professional. So and off to my first event. I had to drive down to Birmingham. It was a long way to do what I was going to do, and it wasn't that impressive, so I won't talk about it. Finished the job, couldn't afford accommodation, so I drove the whole way back, reg tired, and I passed my house, if you want to call it that. And I realised, oh, shoot, stopped the car in my excitement to get home after my, like, 22-hour round trip. I reversed our brand new stroke second-hand car, reversed it into a wall of a neighbour's gate, dented the boot, not only lost the money, I couldn't get the boot open to get the equipment out. Had to phone Stephen and say, I've done a serious damage to the car here. And he said, that's okay, can we get the equipment out? I didn't have the heart to tell him I couldn't get it open. So to this day, Stephen, I'm sorry, I had to pay extra to get the boot open to rescue the equipment. But now it's been at least 20 years ago. So that was an early doors story that happened.
Faux pas, as you might say.
And now, of course, there's health and safety, and we travel responsibly now, folks, and we stay in a hotel sometimes. But it's always pretty much a nice, pleasant and non-exciting journey.
Stephen, do you remember it?
I wonder why I've been getting those letters from solicitors the past 20 years. I've just ignored them.
You remember the car though? She was a beaut, wasn't it?
I wanted to talk a little bit about rewarding our own team, maybe with a busman's holiday. But I do remember a few years ago, we were very fortunate to be involved with a very large international event in Amsterdam, which involved a huge amount of planning, preparation and delivery of equipment from all over Europe into a venue in Amsterdam. And it was a superhero theme, which always floats my boat. But the team really stepped up to the mark and really put on all the effort to travel by plane, train, automobile, ferry, etc., etc., and deliver an absolutely wow event in Amsterdam. And the big payoff for ourselves was the fact that the client and the event delivered for over 400 people, who then passed all their efforts onto children's healthcare. And it was just amazing to be involved with that overall project and deliver something which was absolutely phenomenal. And it was inspirational for our team to have done that and be pumped up with the travel and the experience of working in such a great event. And I know that they are always keen to do that sort of incentive travel and trips, especially in Amsterdam, where
the real story begins, Stephen.
Where when we finished the event, we said to the main organiser, we're just going to go into town and spend some hours in the evening. I said, good luck, boys and girls. Don't do anything illegal. Mind you, there's nothing illegal in Amsterdam. So we visited every museum, in the city.
Superb, yeah, well done. I'm glad you clipped that clean in the end. Yeah, I remember that event well. It was really special to be part of. And again, to take members of our team across there was great too. And we did spend an extra day in the city and enjoyed it and did a few tours and jumped on the bikes and went on the canals. And I remember in one of the canals, there was this old Honda Prelude with a smashed in.
I saw
the equipment hanging out the back of it.
It had been dumped.
But again, our staff still talk about that as being a challenge for ourselves and our team, but how much they got out of it and how much they could see that, you know, all the preparation and planning that we had done leading up to that really paid off for the clan and paid off for them as well, and hadn't such a good experience.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got a couple of airport stories, I'm sure. I know one about you. Come on, tell us.
Yes, okay. Yes, I'm very fortunate to be delivering an event for a client of ours in Berlin. Jerry and I had flown out and we enjoyed the event. It was a kind of game show, entertainment-based event. And we had a few hours to kill in the evening before we went back to our airport. Jerry and I, being obviously very, you know, detailed, good planners, we knew all our times, but we read the old time difference wrong. We thought we went back an hour, but obviously going to Berlin, you go forward an hour. So we were actually 2 hours out on our entire thing. So we're standing there, sitting there, enjoying ourselves in the evening. And we're like, oh, don't worry, we still got 6 hours to the air flight. Don't worry, we still got 5 hours. But really, we were 2 hours out. So we ended up realising, as we asked for a taxi home, and we pretty much had to get a taxi straight to the airport, where I fell asleep on a seat. And Jerry has a great photo of me with my head fully hanging back and probably more drool coming out of my mouth than anyone would care to admit. But hell of a story. We made it to the airport.
Yeah.
And what was even better was when we landed in Edinburgh, we had an event that night.
That's right.
We had to go get sorted for ourselves, go get a new shirt, tie, back in the game. And goes to show you that we will go through anything, even time differences, to make the event happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Sticking with the overseas theme, I think just for legal reasons, we're just travelling abroad for all these, stories.
Yeah.
In case someone's listening in the UK and Ireland. So we, as John said, we're very fortunate to work with some globally successful clients. And one of our clients, a large oil and gas company based in the UK, wanted us to do some work with them and their colleagues in Norway, in Stavanger. And it was all about communication, leadership, planning and strategy. Because during that time, emails were just becoming all the rage. And there was conflict and a little bit of resolution was necessary. So they decided to do it face to face. So Jerry and I diligently flew into Stavanger 3 days before the event to set up a huge GPS treasure hunt up in the mountains in Norway. Plan and preparation is always really important to myself and the rest of the team. And Jerry and I put in full effort up in the mountains. In fact, they made a movie about it called The Revenant. And Leonardo plays Jerry and I'm played by the bear. And the bear dies at the end. But yeah, great event. And again, Jerry and I put in a huge amount of planning and preparation for it. So when the clients came along to the event, it was uber successful. And we prided ourselves on doing something that back in those days, maybe 12, 15 years ago, wasn't really part of our common day-to-day workplace. But again, we took it on board and we really enjoyed it, got a lot out of it. And certainly the client, it made their life a lot easier so they could focus on their core business, which was buying and selling oil and gas, or as it is now, renewables.
But now Stephen is the planner in this quadrant.
We've already cut this story.
I'm not such a good planner. I like to just, you know, perhaps roll a little bit looser. And Stephen's got the plan, and he says, "Come on, we're going up the mountain to do the recce." And I'm getting all recce. He's doing great, you know. All organized. Go here, go there, and I spy a piece of fresh snow, you know, off to my right, and I say, "Come on, just have a wander over here, and let's get this done, and we can go walking later." So being the adventurer himself, he's like, yeah, okay, that seems good. Let's go there. So we're over this. We're heading towards this fresh snow. We're trumping through. It's up to about, I'm looking down, probably your thighs and that. So it's heavy enough. You're not even walking. Stephen goes in front of me because I suppose I'm getting a bit tired and he's getting more adventurous. Next thing, Stephen, gone. Up to his neck. Drops through the snow. I, like a fool, follow him through the snow. We're thinking, it's getting dark, and now we're starting to get a bit, you know, anxious. He's regretful that, like, why did I listen to me? I'm a bit worried because I don't know if I've got the prowess to get us out of the situation it got us into. So with some light discussion, we decide to roll out of the hole and just keep walking down. That was our plan, wasn't it? Keep walking down. So we eventually got to a place where we knew we were at, and we tell a happy story about how we nearly got lost in the Norwegian mountains, but it was a good experience while trying to plan out a great route that you did.
I know our younger listeners will say, well, why didn't we just use the GPS on our phone? It was before mobile phone days, but we did have postcards and stamps, so we knew at some stage we could be rescued.
Yes.
And we thought we were the right adventurers. Here we were in our, you know, as the jackets in Norway, thinking, no, that's not really cold.
anything from a particular team building event or working with a particular client that you look back on really makes you smile, that you think, you know what, that was particularly special for them, or, you know, a particular maybe achievement for us, perhaps, you know, something that really makes you think back and go, yeah, that, you know, that was a winner. We made it, or we've done it.
Yeah, it's quite recent, within the last 12 months, and it was Animate. So Animate is experience of ours where you have to make an animated movie using stop-go animation. But this was for an advertising agency. So I was a bit, you know, a small bit nervous because they should understand how it works. So I wanted it to be awesome for them. So we got there, set up the studios. They create the models themselves. They create the houses, the boats, whatever they want to do. And then they film it. And it takes over hundreds of photos per team. And then that's multiplied by the amount of teams in the room. So there's six teams in the room. And they put in enormous effort into their planning, into the detail, into the script writing. I was thinking to myself, whoa, you know, this is feels like something special. They started to make props like I'd never seen before. They'd made a pair of binoculars and put it really close to the camera and had one person move the binoculars away as if it was focusing in, focusing out. Really was unbelievable. There was 50 of them, so it wasn't easy to get all those people in the room together. And then the finished product, we take the six different scenes and then we let that run as one movie, and it really was incredible. We had a little cinema at the end and an Oscar awards for it, and even they were proud of their own work. And I remember them saying, you know, we could have this as a TV advert for ourselves. So I think for me, I made it special for me because I'd never seen a team go to that level of creativity, design, effort. Like they had one person in the team and their only job was to draw the scenery, and they were able to draw 3D scenery, which again, you don't get that in a normal.
Blew
my mind. And then I came home from the job. I, you know, told the team how great it was, showed them the video. But then the next morning, they had posted it on their LinkedIn, and they had made a little video of the video.
Yes.
And they put even more into it, and looked. It just was phenomenal. It was making me proud to do what we do. You know.
Yeah, for sure, Yeah, it was a belter of a video too.
Yeah,
loved
it, wasn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
Stephen, any thoughts or similar experiences?
I think within the remit of all the events and activities we've done, it's always within our comfort zone to be able to deliver events because we've been doing it for such a long time successfully. And we've always been able to touch and feel everything that we've delivered and be able to guarantee the client that we can knock it out of the ballpark for them. And we pride ourselves on being able to do that. However, the very first event that we did, which was during lockdown, which was on a system called Zoom, it was for license holders of Pizza Express, I believe, in Europe. And the event was for a race night. And to be really honest, as someone from potentially a different generation, maybe a different century, I was hugely nervous because we'd never done it before. And obviously, it was a career-changing moment for us all, having been in business such a long time. But when we first saw the people come on screen, whether we were in the offices or whether we were in our own home places working virtually, when the clients came on screen, wearing the hats, having the champagne, backgrounds all looking fabulous and glorious, and we delivered a wonderful race night, I personally felt that was one of the best, most successful events we ever did, and another opportunity to be able to maintain our contact with clients and deliver events for them, not just in the real world, but over the virtual world as well. So that was, for me, a real opportunity to pat ourselves on the back for a job really, really well done.
Yeah, a confidence booster for sure. Yeah, and then thousands of virtual events later and we're still at it. It's exciting, isn't it, for sure? Okay, so let me bring in my story. One of my proudest moments, or definitely something that I look back on and really makes me smile. It was one of our very first, in fact, it was the first big picture event that we delivered for a team for British Cycling. We'd just become Catalyst Global Partners in the UK. Maybe a month previously, we had worked on this big project to have a big picture event for 300 people all involved with the British Cycling Organisation, from athletes to coaches, right through to administrative staff and basically the whole shebang. We were at Old Trafford for this event. Tough for me because I'm a Liverpool fan. I stood in Old Trafford, I sucked up, and in fact, I'm thinking back now, I remember Jerry couldn't be part of it because you had an injury at the time, in a stookie, as we say. So Jerry couldn't come on board. So that made me probably a bit more nervous. And I was thinking, okay, will we pull it off? But, you know, we were lots of prep, as we've talked about before, and full steam ahead. Anyway, we had this fantastic big picture session. And if you don't know what the big picture is, do check it out on our website. It's one of my absolute favourite events. Each team is responsible for painting their own canvas, and that canvas is all knitted together at the end to create one final big image of a vision or a mission statement or something that the organisation is really proud of. So 300 people, we had something around 75 canvases in total. Again, remember, this is our first one, so it's like that's a big number. And, you know, everything had gone swimmingly, really good, and the whole plan was that we were to take all the canvases in at the end and put them into this big final frame in another room that the guests would go through to and see. And we were going to have 45 minutes to do that because the CEO of British Cycling, they had their 45 minute wrap up. And that was all great. And we'd taken them all in and the crowd were pumping and we were all excited. And I was thinking, yes, we've nailed it. And running through to the room, starting to get these canvases together. And I welcome the CEO up to the stage to make their final debrief message. And they stood at the platform. And as I was walking out of the room, looking at my 45 minute stopwatch, I just heard the wonderful lady say, "Okay, folks, I love that so much. I'm not going to do my final speech. Let's just all go see the painting."
Oh, no.
And the panic was like enormous. I turned around and I was like, "Okay, super." So I'm running through to this other suite going, "Get it in the frame, get it in the frame." And boys shouting, "Don't worry, we've got 45 minutes. I've got, no, we've got about 45 seconds. So they're putting the last bits in, and one of the canvases was wet. So there's a boy with a hairdryer, you know, get it in, curtain on. And nervous but buzzing for the fact that, you know, we're about to unveil this thing. And, you know, we drop the curtain, the confetti cannon goes off. Superb, amazing experience. Like, the crowd go wild. The CEO steps up and says, "Okay, we're going to put it in the Velodrome in Manchester." It still stands there to this day. Something I know we all are enormously proud of. But it really makes me smile when I think back and think to myself that we had created such a buzz and excitement in that area for 300 people that they didn't even give a closing speech. Yeah, they just said, "Nah, let's say yes, I go." And a little facet to that, I remember in preparation for the event, we were buying confetti cannons to really make, like, you know, something special at the end. And Sally, shout out Sally, she's our finance manager and helps with all kind of final logistics and things. She sent me an email and said, "Hey, do you think this will be any good?" And it was a confetti cannon with a 250 meter range for indoors. It was like an industrial confetti cannon, the type of thing that you'd see like outside a stadium. And I had to sadly write back and say, "No, Sally, I don't think this is what we're looking for. We're looking for something handheld." Luckily though, the handheld ones were like 30 quid. The one that she showed me was £3,000 or something.
Jesus.
So that was one that definitely makes me look back and smile, and it always triggers some great memories for me. So something that I love.
Just to add on to that, Jonathan, there's two things that spring to mind from that story. And I was there, and you told us that we were working at Man United, so being the only non-football fan in the room here, I said, "Oh, Man United, what's their business sector then?" And then secondly, the client, probably within about 15 minutes of starting, did pull me to one side and whisper in my ear, "You know, if this is rubbish, we'll put it into the canteen. But if it's good, we might put it in the Velodrome." So there was no pressure because it wasn't on us. It was all down to the clientele, British Cycling, and they absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was a winner. Yeah, definitely one that makes me smile.
And then, well, the sad thing was, one of the fellas who was on the team working with us took home 50 Man United troll wig cups. So we're laying around the office for, like, you know, at least 2 months.
I think
I might have, you know, helped them go outside.
Yes, definitely didn't take a drink from any of them. No, sure.
That's what eBay's for.
Yeah, for sure. Any other cool stories that anyone wants to share, or you think that we've
we should do one more, the Beat the Box one.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, tell
us. Just for logistics, because like Stephen mentioned, it's the effort that goes in that don't really want people to know, I guess, because, you know, you like it to look like it's as simple as possible, because that shows how it should be. But we did have to, John, you were involved in the, I guess, you know, the creation of the event itself. And there was 800 people. I remember you said to me, "So you can jump in any time here. Great news, G-man, job in." I said, "Oh, that's great. You know, love hearing a job in, ring the bell and that." 800 people, Beat the Box. And then he passed out.
He just doesn't remember.
But I tried to look excited. I said, "Oh, that's great, mate. Yeah, let's go with it." But it meant we needed more equipment than we had. So we had to source some more of the boxes from Europe. Which you can imagine, you know, pre or post Brexit, isn't easy to do, or they don't make it easy to do, especially in our time frame. But like Stephen touched on, the team jumped in. We had drivers across, went to Europe, got the gear, brought it in. We pulled in experts from all over, and we arrived in this venue, all of us, and the 800 people across something like 5 different rooms at the same time, simultaneous, with being audible and viewable for no matter what your ability was to listen, hear or see. So that was, you know, a small little extra challenge that we now do all of the time, but you know, didn't think of it in some cases. And it was up there, and huge success. It was for a big housing company, thoroughly loved it. And at the end, I remember saying goodbye to everybody, we closing the doors, we had all these Beat the Boxes, you know, and it was like a tumbleweed, you know. We didn't just do it, we smashed it with the effort, because it is those things that are out of your control. that make it hard, because you don't own Royal Mail, you don't own DPD, you know, you don't own petrol stations that go on strike. These are the things that, you know, always make it more challenging than the simplicity of just doing it.
And it's a culmination of effort, isn't it? In that moment, you know, our customer, they really see the 90 minutes that we share with them.
Yeah.
But really, it's taken us weeks at that, in that occasion, to organise it. You know, hundreds of hours across multiple people driving, getting the gear there, organising it. As Jerry mentioned, some of our Catalyst partners supported us on the event, flying in to help facilitate, just because it was such a large scale event. And, you know, one of the biggest Beat the Boxes delivered around the world. Something that we're proud of, you know, definitely something that you should check out, because, yeah, it's all that combined effort that makes you feel that sense of, let's say, relief at the end. And as always, you know, we go above and beyond, not to just make it happen, but to make it the very best that can possibly be. And I think that was a true representation of, we do what it takes to, like, make it as best as possible.
Yeah, because really, we love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Isn't it? That's what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It, you know, that's what gives us our kickback buzz, and
yeah,
buzz. For,
yeah,
for good word.
Yeah,
because if you didn't get that buzz, you probably wouldn't do it. You're in this job, you follow your passion for a reason, don't you?
You definitely wouldn't go through the turmoil for instance, that took.
And
if you want to listen to some previous podcast episodes where we talk about conflict, Jerry and I had plenty that week whenever we were deciding who's going where and who's going what. But that, as you say, it's that feeling of survival, or, you know, the feeling of passion that you you take from that. And
and part of that buzz as well is working with clients year after year after year, getting feedback from them saying, we didn't think you could have topped last year, and you did. So taking on that challenge and really stepping up with the client to exceed their expectations, not just at that event, but year on year on year, and building a relationship with them. So as we grow, they grow, and vice versa.
Listen, just before we wrap up, you know, we obviously have the great pleasure to work all over the UK and further afield, and we're very lucky. We've talked about some experiences there, particularly, you know, in Amsterdam. I've delivered events in Sydney, Belgium, across the world. Three top locations that you've enjoyed working in. Oh. So whether that's venue, whether that's, you know, country, whether it's because the venue is special, or even just one location that really sticks out to mind, that might be something fun to finish on.
Yeah, well, I'll jump straight in. I'm sure I'm going to take somebody else's here, but like Glen Eagles is amazing. The prestigious of it, plus the event itself and everything that goes with it. Abroad, I think when we drove to Dusseldorf, I really enjoyed that experience and the cultural journey to all of that. And of course, Stephen's Norway, taking us right back to like 18 years or something.
I think reflecting back again, not necessarily about the building or the venue, it's about the people. And I do remember we delivered a huge event at Celtic Manor a few years ago. And the manager from the hotel, or the conference manager, was phenomenal. The guy was wearing white gloves. He had a clipboard. He actually had a stopwatch. And he said to us, you know, tell me how long we have between rounds. So I'll start my stopwatch and you have 90 seconds or 3 minutes or whatever as a break. And also at the end of that presentation that he did to us about what he was going to do, he said, would Sir like some food for yourself and the team? I said, Sir, certainly would. So again, he wasn't just taking care of the core client. He was taking care of us as a supplier, and made us feel really special about working there, that we were a valued member of his team. And so that it was a seamless presentation to the customer. And it absolutely blew myself, my teammates, and also the clients away. It was definitely a great example of service at the highest, highest level. And that's why it's got a global reputation.
Absolutely, yeah. And I love that you mentioned Celtic Manor. As you all know, I love my golf. Golf is definitely always exciting when I hear that on the other end of the phone. We've had the pleasure of working with the European Tour at the Scottish Open in particular. We've been at Dundonald Links. We've been at Archer Field. That's been enormously exciting for me to see those kind of events take place. I always think too about some of the really cool castles, private castle residences,
stadiums.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Olympic Stadium in London. Yeah. For those Aberdeen fans that are listening, Pittodrie Stadium, we've done a few things in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, those kind of places that out with the norm, you know, are really a great experience, and people, you know, places that people don't get to go and visit every day.
Yeah.
Again, some of these like country private estates where people might be very well off and enjoy, you know, some of the finer things in life that perhaps us mere mortals don't get to get to see them and be like, wow, so that's what it looks like to have a swimming pool underneath your bowling alley with your Porsche sitting above it or whatever. That's really cool. So yeah, I really enjoy that, and I really enjoy the fact that, you know, our events do take us all across the country. I know a lot of our team enjoy that too.
Yeah.
And I think that's some great experiences that we've had, and many more memories. Boys, I've really enjoyed our little trip down memory lane. A few stories there. Any final little words or thoughts before I bring it to a close?
If Rory McIlroy is listening in, which he probably is, I think I just heard Jonathan Haseley call you out. Over to you, Rory.
Exactly. Jerry.
I look forward to telling my chicken story.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Really love being part of this. We've loved having you listening in.
Yeah, thank
you
so much. Now.
It is. But we've enjoyed so many great comments from our listeners and so many great things that have been happening. We've been working with a great team that have made this happen as well. So a big thank you and shout out to all those people that have helped produce the show, give us script notes, make sure that we at least edit out some of the swear words. That's been some of the challenges. So Katie and John, who'll be listening in, a big thank you to those guys. And if you do want to check out all our other episodes, please do. You can get them on Spotify. You can find them on our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here. I look forward to chatting with you all again. Thank you so much. From myself, Jonathan, from Jerry.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
From Stephen.
See you on the other side.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We've been Team Challenge Company. Thank you and good night.